Today we're going to be in Mark chapter 12. I'm calling this sermon All In. So buckle up, people. All in today. Today we're going to go over a story I've heard many times. You probably have too. It's the story of the widow's offering. It's also known as the lesson of the widow's mite. Now, when I was growing up, when I heard the lesson of the widow's mite, I was like, does she have a bug? Like, I did not get it, and I didn't know what was going on. So I'm just going to fill you in on what this is, okay, just from the top. The widow's mite. Anybody heard this story before or heard it referenced as that, the widow's mite, the offering or lesson of the widow's mite? Okay. The mite is a currency, but it wasn't a currency in Jesus' time. It was a currency that was around when the Bible was translated into the King James Version in the early 1500s. So we're going to talk about money today, a coin, currency. And when they translated the Bible into the King James Version, they wanted to put it into something people would understand. So they said it was her mites. She donated and offered her mites. Wasn't a bug. Was money. So in Jesus' time, what she would have donated was called a lepta, L-E-P-T-A, from what I found in my research. So that's what I'm going to call it. The story or the lesson of the widow's lepta instead of mites. So I changed it in my head. But anyway, so that gives you a little bit of an understanding of what we're going to be talking about today. And this passage of scripture is in Mark, as you can see up on the screen, 12:38-44. And I want to go ahead and just read it from the top here, and then we'll get into it. Mark 12, which this passage of scripture essentially is all red letters. If you've got a red letter Bible, it's Jesus talking. So listen up. Important stuff. When you see the red letters, you know, okay, yeah, I got to listen now. All right. Mark 12, 38-44. 38, it starts and says this. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and in the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show will make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." Verse 41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling to his disciples, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." All in. So we see a story here, Jesus doing most of the talking here. And as we see this story unfold and what Jesus is teaching, you would think that he's going to use the religious people and the rich people as what to do, right? Look at them, the religious people especially, right? Wouldn't you think they would be the behaviors that you would want to emulate? No, not at all, right? Jesus says, don't do what they do. Don't follow their example. Don't follow their behaviors. In fact, his words are kind of harsh. Verse 38, watch out for the teachers of the law. And then in verse 40, he states that they will be punished severely. He will be punished, I think my version says, most severely. Jesus is using them as an example of a warning of what not to do, isn't he? Don't do what they do. And it boils down to the fact that their hearts aren't in the right place, are they? Because what their behaviors show is they're doing things for their own glory, aren't they? They're doing things for their own recognition, for people to see. And then I love that right after this, right on time, as always in the Bible, a widow shows up. We see a widow enter the scene, right? To place her offering in the offering box. And Jesus then, he's got his example of what to do, doesn't he? He's like, don't do what these people are doing, making it all about them. Ooh, do what she's doing. making it all about God. He had his perfect example of a humble behavior and true worship of God in that moment. And he uses her as an example. We're going to dig into a little bit here. I want to let you know of some things that I learned about offerings at the time. At the time, okay, go to who's doing it. Sean back there? Sean's doing my slides. Flip to the next one, Sean. There you go. In the temple at the time, there were 13 of these trumpet-shaped boxes that were put out in the treasury for people to place their offerings. We have two in the back, don't we? We have two little boxes in the back, right? They had 13 to choose from. Some of the offerings, because I was like, well, 13, why'd they need 13? They're all set up for different things. We have two set up in the back, don't we, for different things, our general offering and then whatever special offering it could be, Dominican Republic, our community pantry, blah, 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 right? They have 13. Some things that I found that were of the 13 were current year donations and taxes. Some places called it taxes, so I'm just going to throw that out there. Previous year's donations, taxes, money for animals for burnt offerings, money for the wood for burnt offerings, money for the gold that was in the Holy of Holies, surpluses from offerings, and then the last one, number 13, was for voluntary offerings, whatever you wanted to put in. So you go to the treasury, you have all these 13 trumpet-shaped things, and you decide which one you're going to make your donation to, and you walk up to that trumpet and you put in your money. Sounds easy enough. But I got to also thinking about the trumpet-shaped offering box. What would that maybe sound like? Can you imagine it? I happen to have a trumpet here today. Pastor Tosh let me borrow her trumpet. She was playing it earlier. You need to practice, honey. The pet band stuff from 1990, whatever. Anyway, maybe one day she'll play this thing at Christmas, right? Yeah, encourage her. She got nothing else to do but play her trumpet. Sounds good. All right. So I borrowed her trumpet. I got it out from under the bed in the guest bedroom. And I'm like, okay, so look at the picture. This is much bigger, clearly, obviously, right? But can you hear that? A coin? All right. Imagine a rich person putting a bunch of coins in there. I'm not going to drop it, I promise. Right? Now, I know this isn't super loud, but it sure is louder than our wooden boxes in the back, isn't it? Right? I would say, I mean, I don't know the dimensions on this, but it looks like at least twice as big as this. So people are putting their coins in, and you could tell who was putting a lot of coins in, couldn't you? It's like a, what's those machines at Las Vegas when you win a lot of money? It comes shooting out. The slot machines, that's it. It's like a slot machine. Or if you are like the poor widow and you only have two, you just, that's it, right? All right, so you kind of have an idea of the sights and the sounds. You get that coin. You're welcome. Oops, it fell. So you can imagine what it sounded like, right? The more coins you had, rich people are there. They're dumping their coins in, and it's making a lot of racket, isn't it? It's gaining some attention, isn't it? You know who's making a large treasury offering, don't you? And into what thing they've decided to put that thing in, their money into. The more coins, the louder and resonating the coins were, and the lesser coins obviously didn't make such a sound, didn't get a lot of attention. You probably went unnoticed. At this point in time, we see Jesus sitting opposite of the treasury. He's in the court of women, which is kind of like over here, and then he's looking on to, and he can see all 13 of the little treasury boxes. And he watches, as the rich people dump in all their money and make a loud racket and make it known. And then he sees the widow. I also want to just make mention that this is the last week of Jesus' life. We know this is Passover, right? Jesus went into Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, as well as did everybody else. So this was a busy place. There were lots of clanking going on. Lots and lots of clanking. That's a word now. Clanking of coins. But we see his lesson that we learned that he said about the widow when she gave her two little leptas. His insightful observation was that she put more in the treasury than anybody else. Didn't he say that? We read that, didn't we? They gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of poverty. So as I looked at this lesson, I have three things I want to talk about this morning in this story. First one, God sees, Jesus saw, and does see, what we humans oftentimes overlook. I am certain that every person who was with Jesus or in the treasury that day, as it was so busy, did not pay attention at all to the two little clinks of the coin that went into that trumpet offering area from that widow. Who was getting all the attention? All the rich people, right? All that noise. All of the rich people were flaunting their offering. They heard the offering go into the boxes and had all their attention, was like, ooh, look at that person. I'm sure that's what the disciples saw. It's only natural, right? In the hubbub of everything going on, you're going to go to the things that are making a lot of noise. They saw all the rich people throwing in large amounts of money. And also, because Jesus mentioned this just before, it seems to me that religious people were there too, praying out loud, being all flamboyant, giving themselves a lot of attention. I mean, it was the Passover week. That was their time to be out in front of everybody, right? So we have two groups of people that you're noticing, that you're seeing. It's only natural. It's only human. But who does Jesus see? He sees the widow. Wow. He saw something so different than what we see when we see a situation. He sees things in a way that we don't and miss it. We miss it sometimes. He saw a simple, humble, poor, as the Bible says. She might have been poor by earthly standards, but not godly standards. But anyway, so poor widow. He saw her give her two little small copper coins. And this was the lesson. This was the offering that Jesus decided to make a lesson out of. Don't worry about all these people, the rich people and all the religious people doing their thing. That's the lesson I want you to learn, guys. That's what he said. Jesus saw her. The other gifts in the treasury that day maybe made a lot of noise as they jingled into the receptacles or clinked, whatever I called it. But the widow's coins, Jesus saw it, and it was heard in heaven by God, by the angels, right? Humble. Jesus saw her. Jesus saw what the world thinks oftentimes as insignificant. What an insignificant little offering she gave. Wasn't insignificant to Jesus, was it? Jesus thought it was highly significant, in fact. Jesus sees what we do for him, folks. Humbly. Heaven sees it, what we do. When we, like the widow, give, do, act, serve, worship with a humble heart, no one around us may notice or even give a care. But Jesus does notice, and he cares. I think that's the beautiful thing about it sometimes, what we do behind the scenes, serving God humbly with open hearts, just like this widow did. She was worshiping right there, given all she had. giving without recognition and just doing what you're supposed to do humbly before God, that was the lesson that Jesus picked up on and told us today that we need to apply to our life. When you give humbly to God in whatever realm you're giving, it may not go noticed at all here on earth, but it does go noticed eternally. And that's what matters. The second point, I was just talking to somebody about this. This is my point today. God's math ain't our math. His math ain't mathin', if you will. Us mathematics people in here, we have to get past the logical number crunching thing and realize God's math is not the same as ours. The widow's two copper coins, or two leptas, as we know, was the smallest coin in circulation at the time. It was worth 1/64 of a denarii. How much is a denarii, Pastor Jamie? I'm going to tell you. A denarii was $50. So if you do the math, that's what we like to do, crunch this out. A lepta is worth 1/61 of $50, and that means in today's money, she gave 78 cents times two of them. 78 cents was one coin. So $1.56 was what she gave. A small, insignificant amount of money. But Jesus says, this poor widow's given more to the treasury than the others, right? Doesn't he say that? You guys remember that part? She gave more than anybody else? And I'm sure the disciples were probably like, okay, I'm sorry, Jesus, but your math ain't mathing today. There's no way that her two small coins of $1.56 is as much as that guy who's dumping a whole bunch of coins in and cling, 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 making all kinds of racket and noise. Did you not hear the other clinking going on over here, Jesus? Your math is not correct. In our world, in the world we live in, there's no possible way that that was the most or the biggest offering given that day. But Jesus' math isn't our math. His math doesn't math like us. It ain't mathing. Okay? Jesus is talking about a proportion here. The part she gave was so much more in relation to what she had. Do you get it? The rich people still had money in the bank. In the Bank of Jerusalem, they were able to pay their mortgages and their Porsches off, you know. They were good. They were still feeling okay. They had their nest egg. They'd saved in their 401ks, all that stuff, right? But Scripture tells us that she gave out of her need. Her gift and her proportion was a true sacrifice of giving, where the rich had not even begun to understand her level of sacrifice. They gave out all what they already had. She gave out of what she needed to live that day. We'll get into that in just a minute. Her gift was a true sacrifice. When it comes to giving to God, money or otherwise, I hope you're seeing it's not just about money I'm talking about here. You guys get that, right? Okay. Money or otherwise, it's not about the what, the number of hours, the dollar amounts, or anything like that. It's about your level of sacrifice in your giving of that. If you give money to God, let's say it is money. If you give money to God and it's easy, is that really a sacrificial offering? If you give time to God when it's convenient and it works within your schedule, and yeah, I can do that, is it really sacrificial offering of time? If you give up your talents and gifts when it works for you and yeah, I can do that then because that's easy, is that really a sacrifice of giving up your talents and your gifts to God? Imagine what we would do if we gave whatever it was until it hurt just a little bit, just an incy-beansy bit. Time, energy, money, other resources. God wants us to give, but not just give. He wants us to present to him an offering that's a sacrifice to him. That's what this widow did. Do you get that? He gave everything for us. Didn't Jesus give everything for us? Didn't God give Jesus give everything for us? So it's our job on this earth to give everything back to him so we can show Jesus and God in sacrificial living to people in this world that need it so badly. They need Jesus so badly. I don't know what this looks like for you with your sacrificial giving and in what category. I have no idea. But I hope you hear my words today and you have some conversations with Jesus about the what. What do I need to do now with this? Pastor Jamie gave an amazing sermon on sacrificial giving. So Jesus, what do I need to do with it now? That's between you and God to determine later in whatever category. I need to be more humble. Was that the wow that came over? If Jesus saw what you give, which he does, right? Would he say you gave the most of all the people that were around you? Wouldn't that be a great, great compliment if Jesus said, yeah, she gave the most? Not because of anything that you can count here, because the math isn't right. It's about a proportion of what you can, what you do have. And then lastly, the third thing, this woman had some kind of out of this world faith in God. Did she not? Do you not see that with this person? Here was a woman in need of receiving charity, of getting things to live. Yet she had a heart to give back to Jesus, to God. Unbelievable to me, the faith that she had. I learned something as I was doing research and studying on this. I didn't know. The amount of 2 leptas was the amount the temple authorities gave to the poor so they could buy bread for one day. She went to the temple, got 2 leptas to get bread for the day, and went and put it in an offering at the treasury. It was literally all she had that day. It was all she had for the day to live physically for that day. Even though the amount was insignificant, it only gives her bread for one day. $1.50, whatever, $8, right? She gave it in faith that God could use it. She didn't say, oh, you hear the clinking going on over here? That rich person has got my dollar something covered. She gave it anyway and said, you know what? I got these 2 things here. I'm going to give it back to God. She didn't think her offering was insignificant, did she? She didn't think, oh, somebody else will cover it for me. The widow's faith is also evident in the fact that she gave the last of her money. Like, I would think, okay, I got 2 leptas. Let me go give 1 to the treasury. I can get a half a loaf of bread with this, right? All in. All in. Like, it all went in. All of it. Imagine emptying your bank accounts today, folks. I'm not saying you need to do that, but I'm just saying. Think about that. Empty it all out. That's what she did. She had nothing for tomorrow. That is faith. That is faith I want. Yes. What an example. What a beautiful example. I was suddenly uncomfortable getting ready for this sermon. I'm like, oh, man. Oh, all in. Ow. Woof. She had faith that God would provide all she needed. She had the faith to go all in and know that God was going to take care of her. Her bread would come somehow, some way. She would live somehow. And I don't know. We don't have any more. This is the last we hear of her. She gives her money to the treasury and off she goes. But I guarantee it, she was taken care of. Don't you? God took care of her. I want us to be that kind of church. To go all in. Let's go all in for God. God's got us. Let's have faith like that. Pastor Tosh prays a lot. I don't know if she knows it, but she talks about a courageous faith all the time. Anybody ever catch that? That's like her underlying theme. A courageous faith. That's what we need. A courageous faith to go all in, to not worry about stuff of this world, to know that God's got us every time. What an amazing example. This is such a beautiful story that I've heard a million times, but never did it impact me until it did like this as I was studying this. The story of a beautiful woman with a humble heart who loved God so much. And I'm not sure, as I said a little bit earlier, I'm not sure where in your life you need to show a little bit more humility. You need to show a little bit more faith. You need to show a little bit more trust in God like this woman. But I do hope you reflect on that and talk to Jesus about it, because you're going to grow closer and closer to God every time you do stuff like this. When you sacrifice something for him, trust me, you just grow and grow closer to him, and your reliance on him and your relationship with him just booms. I love that this widow understood something that we need to understand on a daily basis. Everything she had wasn't hers in the first place. It was given to her by God. Think about it. She went to the temple. God gave it to her, right? And then she just gave it right back. Nothing we have is ours. Nothing. It's all given to us by God. And then our job is to give it back to him, to show people how much he loves them and what he did for them, what he did for us by dying on the cross for us and giving us salvation and eternal life. Giving and serving God applies on so many things and aspects in our life. I want, hopefully today, you can look at your life and see how you can spend your time, money, resources, whatever it is. Fill the blank. Be honest with yourself. Talk to God about it. And say, hey, God, how can I be more all in? More. I want to be more all in. Because I can tell you this. Someone in this room said this at Bible study once. What we want to make time for, we make time for. What we want to have and the things we want to do with our money, we budget for, we save for, we do all those things, right? The things that are important to us, we will find a way, won't we? If God's important to us, we will find a way. This isn't an easy task, okay? I'm not trying to make light of this and be like, oh, just do it. It's so easy. It's not. It's hard being a Christian, isn't it? It's hard. We got to love people that don't love us, love people we don't like, forgive people that hurt us. Are you kidding me? And then we have to sacrificially give on all levels. It's hard being a Christian. That's why we have this little support group we call church, right? A church family. We support one another. It always isn't popular. It's not always seen by others, but it is popular with God. It is easy when we have God in the mix of all of it, and it is seen by God when we humbly serve. We humbly do. We humbly offer our sacrifices to him. Let's be a church that goes all in on all aspects. And I just want to say one more thing about this widow. I have no idea what trumpet she put her coins into that day. There's 13 of them. And I wish I knew. Because I kind of think, I have a sneaky suspicion, she put it into trumpet number 13, the voluntary one. I just have a feeling. I'm going to write that on my list of things to ask God, Carol, when I get to heaven. Carol's got a long list. Maybe you could just add it to yours and it'll take care of it. But I have a feeling she put it in that voluntary offering trumpet because that's how her heart was. It wasn't an obligation at all. It was just her saying, you know what? I got this from God. I have faith and trust. I don't need anybody to see me. I'm humbly going to put this right back in. God's got me. She said, hey, I'm all in. I'm all in. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this lesson. For this beautiful individual that just shows up in a couple verses of Scripture, God. Help us to be more like her. Help us to do things humbly for you. Help us to give ourselves in a sacrificial way, God. Just, I pray for all of us to be enlightened. All of us, myself included, God, may we just see where our blind spots are and what we need to do in areas we need to give a little bit more to you, God. Help us to be all in, because when we do that, we grow closer to you. And as I said earlier, that's our heart's desire. We just want to grow closer and closer to you, God. We love you so much. We know you have us, but man, doing some of the things that we need to do here on this earth to show that is so hard as us human. It's just so hard in our human bodies, God, with our human minds. And I just ask today that you just help enlighten us, help grow us, help us to be more like this widow who gave everything she had, God. What a beautiful, beautiful example. May we learn from this today. May we ponder this. May we be enlightened. And may you move within our lives and the changes that are ahead for us in our behaviors. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.